Welcome back to a spooky edition of the No Disqualifications podcast. I am one half of your commentary today, Adrian.
And I'm the second half of this wonderful commentary team, Mr. Tay.
And we're coming to you with NXT Halloween Havoc 2020, middle of COVID. We're kind of just swinging through, hitting a few things here and there. We are going to go back and visit 98 at some point, but right now we're just kind of jumping around, seeing things out. I know, just a little heads up for the listener here, if we were to give any no DQ announcements, a lot of the times I'll get on here, I'll tell you what our plan is going to be, and then we do the complete opposite. So get used to that. That's what we do now. October 28th, 2020, Orlando, Florida. This is in the Performance Center. The attendance was like nobody. I mean, there's some people, but I think there's like friends and family around the ring.
Yeah.
This is, you know, COVID, October 28th, you know, during October 28th, where was I at? It was my honeymoon.
Yeah.
I was in hell. So this is perfect. So let's swing into this one. We open the show with Shotzi Blackheart. She's coming out. She is the host of Halloween Havoc. And we get straight into Johnny Gargano versus Damian Priest for the North American Championship. It's a spin the wheel, make the deal. It's a Devil's Playground match. Now, we've talked about this off the pod quite a few times, how we feel about Damian Priest.
He's an interesting character. I don't know.
If I would say, he just kind of bores me.
Yeah. He has his gimmick, you know. He has the right shit going on.
But he's not a bad wrestler.
No.
He's just fucking boring. Yeah. Boring. And I don't feel like he... So when he started, he had kind of like a rock star type of gimmick. He'd come out and do the... the arrow, shoot the fire. Fire would come up. He always came out. After he won the championship, he'd hang out with all the girls and do the whole deal. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, he's with Judgment Day. But it just feels like there's nothing super... I don't know, nothing really sticks out.
No, he's still playing the second fiddle, potentially third, depending on how you look at it, with him, Baylor, and Rhea, you know, Dom being the new guy to the group. But like I said, he's just boring. I mean, he doesn't do it.
And, you know, he debuted back in 2004, wrestling for the Monster Factory, and then he went to ROH for a while. Mm-hmm. Then he joined WWE in 2018. But he's 40 years old. Mm-hmm. So a lot of talent don't hit their strides until 35 or so. So we're kind of seeing, we're gonna play this one out. He might get better, but this is 2020. So we're speaking of 2020 Damian Priest here.
Yeah.
Against Johnny Gargano. He had just turned heel not too long ago. I believe he turned heel at the beginning of COVID. Mm-hmm. Man, what do you think about this match? Devil's Playground match. Definitely sounds nice.
It was just another, I guess, a no DQ match. I mean, of course, you were at the Devil's Playground, you know, make it sound more intense or what the fuck, but just another, you know, no DQ match. It drug a lot longer than I would like it to. The match was 21 minutes total. You know, for the North American Championship, I don't see why it should be that fucking long, but what do I know? It was an okay match.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't too bad. It was super fucking long.
There are some decent spots in here and there. Man, so Gargano came out dressed like Jack Skellington from A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Slices the pumpkin on the stage.
Damian Priest had a rock entrance, came out. It was a really cool entrance. Mm-hmm. I wish his character had that much thought put into it. But
yeah.
And, you know, they're doing their brawling in the beginning. Priest is beating that ass for the most part of the beginning of the match. Gargano gets a super kick in and kind of slows the pace down. Mm-hmm. They start to fight towards the backstage area. There's one spot I told you is probably my favorite spot of the entire match, where Gargano has a look on his face like, all right, I'm gonna put him in this casket. He opens his casket and like this fake skeleton comes out. And Gargano freaks out and he backs up and super kicks the skeleton and starts talking shit to it and then closes the casket.
And Damian Priest lays one on him.
Oh, yeah, lays one on him. And
he pulled a Shawn Michaels. What's your name? Jake. Oh, Jake. Damn, super kicks the shit out of him.
They go to the backstage area. Gargano, you know, hits him with a trash can, then hits him with the garbage cart. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They work their way back out. They climb up onto the stage where the wheel is to make the deal. And while they're up there, that is where Ghostface comes out.
Yeah, it's a mystery fuck.
Ghostface comes out. He hits Priest, and then he hands Gargano a tombstone. And which Gargano hits him with, sending Priest off the stage through the fake house.
Flies left field.
He like goes through the house, on the ground, slides through, and then Gargano comes over there and pins him and becomes the new and the first ever two-time North American champion. In a match that was, like we said, 21 minutes and 6 seconds. Mm-hmm. All in all, man, what are you grading this one?
I graded a 4. I was going to go 3, 3.5, but it was a good match. It was just super fucking long.
Yeah.
The aggressiveness was there. A spot we missed doing the review. Gargano had a Priest on, I guess we call it Salida del Sol on the outside.
Yeah.
On the
steps. Sliced bread.
Yeah, sliced bread. That was pretty dope. Like you said, they went backstage. Freaking Damian Priest got his head banged against the garage door like 10 times.
Yeah.
It was a good match, man. It was a good match.
They had the good spots. It dragged. And, you know, I see a match on here you could have cut.
Yeah.
Two matches on here you could have cut. Give them one match a little more time and then maybe give them something a little bit different.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you know, we're in the middle of COVID. They're kind of – I felt they were trying to shorten the card up a little bit and being precautious here. Next match, though, by the way, I give this one a 3.5. To me, you know, same gripes you had. I just felt like it went too long.
Mm-hmm.
The talent's there. The spots were there. I mean, they didn't go overboard. They will go overboard later. Didn't go overboard for this one. So, now next match with Santos Escobar and Legado del Fantasma. Fantasma, how do you pronounce it? Versus Jake Atlas and Santos Escobar coming out in his Day of the Dead. They had a nice setup, nice little entrance.
All Rey Mysterio WCW.
Jake Atlas got the good old commercial break entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Atlas had his springboard, like cartwheel DDT. That's all. And then Santos Escobar, he took advantage and hit his
shadow.
Yeah, he beat the fuck out of him the entire match. And then he hits his, it's like a Angel Wings face buster type of deal where he uses his knee, clips him with the knee. He hit him with that and he pinned him after, I think it was Raul Mendoza was wearing like a lucha mask and headbutted him. Yeah. Oh, the fuck the point the lucha mask was. He put it on, headbutts him, take the lucha mask off. And like just, I don't know what the point of that was, but it happened.
Yeah.
All that to say, what the hell? Man, that's a 2. It was a 2 for me. I'm a big fan of Santos Escobar. I'm a big fan of Legado del Fantasma. I think they bring something very unique to wrestling in general. They're a faction of Hispanics that are treated well. They're not treated with like stereotypes or anything like that. They're just a faction of badass Hispanic wrestlers. And they always have the best entrances. What we were watching, the Santos Escobar and Tony D'Angelo match, and he came out, he has that long walk, he's coming out with the mask on, and he's walking through the parking lot, and then you see Rob Mendoza join him, and then you see the other one that's not Rob Mendoza join him, and then you see Electra Lopez join him, and they're walking like they're the fucking mafia, which, you know, they're Hispanics, they're the cartel. And they walk, they always get that entrance, and I liked it. Santos was wearing the 97 Halloween Havoc Rey Mysterio tights. You know, you give me Santos Escobar against someone else, and I'm going to care.
Yeah.
Not just is Jake Atlas a boring-ass wrestler, but he's a piece of shit person, too. So, just like back in May 23rd of 2022 when he was accused of domestic battery. And, he said that he intended to engage in a threesome with a woman, but he got mad because his partner was showing more attention to the woman. And then they beat the shit out of him. So, he's kind of a piece of shit.
Good Lord.
And then when the police came to arrest him, he was arguing with the police officer, and he was like, you know who I am? I'm Jake Atlas. Man, I don't give a shit about Jake Atlas.
Who the fuck are you?
We didn't know who you were until we just watched this show. But nonetheless, I give you a 2, buddy boy.
I give this match a 2.5. All the same points Adrian touched on. Don't know too much about Legado de Fantasma myself, but like everything Adrian said, they're fucking badass Mexicans, Latinos, whatever the fuck you want to call them. Yeah, pretty aggressive style wrestling. I like it. The entrances are dope. Their costume, their gimmick, their attire, whatever the fuck you want to say is pretty dope. Santos Escobar, he's an aggressive fucker. He reminds me of old Alberto Del Rio. You know what I mean? He has a lot of moves with knee breakers in him, knee breaker style variations. The fucking Elijah Burt, the Pope.
Running knees,
turnbuckle. I ain't seen that in so fucking long. That was vintage right there. But, yeah, Santos Escobar did his thing, so I give it 2.5. Don't know too much about Jake fucking Atlas besides the fucking 2K15 generic name and moveset he got. But he really didn't do nothing this much. Like Adrian said, the off the top rope cartwheel DDT, a generic fucking comeback, the clothesline here and there, back body drop. He really didn't get too much action in. So, yeah, I'll give it 2.5 on behalf of Legado de Fantasma.
Yeah, they could have done a lot more just by giving him somebody who's better to work with. But nonetheless, you get Jake Assless. Nonetheless, we move on. Next, we have Dexter Lumis and Cameron Grimes in the house, the Haunted House of Terror match. A bunch of weird shit happened, man. They go to a house. Cameron Grimes is attacked by zombies and the girl from The Grudge and like zombie B-fab referee. B-Fab, yeah. And then Dexter Lumis shows up and they kind of fight a little bit. And then Cameron Grimes is trying to have sex with this girl in the shower, but it turns out it's like a demon, ancient well, Asian girl, and he freaks out and runs out, and then he gets to the ring, and he's getting attacked by zombies, and then Dexter Lumis is like, and he puts him in the silencer, and he wins.
Yeah, pretty much, man. It's Cameron Grimes pretty much got killed by four families in a parsnip.
Oh, yeah,
The whole entire match. He got a cave-in on one of them, and finally got to the ring, a zombie. He took a bump, but other than that, it's just fucking pointless. I mean, I understand, but it's like the Hardys and the Wyatt family, you know, their match they had. Freaking Undertaker and AJ Styles. Wasn't a bad match, but real cinematic. Me personally, I'm not a fan of cinematic, wrestling matches. But
We like the tangible things around here.
Yeah, to each his own. But I give it a fucking 0.25.
Yeah, I gave it a dud, but
Dexter Lumis too. I like Dexter Lumis. Don't get me wrong, but what's up with the eye gimmick? I mean, when is that going to change? He stopped, with the fucking Miz. Present day. He still has the eye thing. Like, change his fucking gimmick. Let him do something. Like, god damn.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm also going to give him a solid no bells. Yeah. Not going to give you a damn thing. There's no athleticism. There's not a damn thing. Nothing happened. Nothing happened except for some weird shit. Some weird carny bullshit. As Jim Cornette would say, some backyard mud wrestling bullshit. And that's exactly what it was. Dexter Lumis, great, great wrestler. Cameron Grimes, great wrestler. Haunted House of Terrors should never be brought back ever again for nothing.
For nobody.
Don't give a shit if it's to raise money for Connor's Cure. Don't ever do this shit again. It was poo salad, garbage. It was stupid. Really slowed the whole show down. And honestly, we got tired in the middle of it and had to go get something to drink to come back to try to finish the show.
All right.
So, next match we go Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Gonzalez. Talk about a match that I remember watching the show when it came on originally. And I got to say, I don't remember this match when it originally came on. I don't remember if I liked it. I don't remember. I'm not the biggest Raquel Gonzalez fan. I'm going to be completely blunt. It's taking me some time to kind of warm up to Rhea Ripley. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do. There's just like this weird community on the internet that doesn't like Raquel or Rhea because they're women that have muscles.
Yeah.
I don't fall in that, group. I don't really give a shit.
I love Rhea Ripley. She's so fucking hot.
I think she's... Yeah. She has back muscles, biceps. Okay, cool. I do not give a shit. But there's a weird community that doesn't like them because they're muscular women. I don't give a shit if you're muscular women or not. It doesn't fucking bother me. Unless you're built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, then like we're chilling. It took me a while to warm up to Rhea Ripley. I'm still trying to figure out if I'm a fan of Raquel. I need something to happen with her gimmick.
Yeah.
But this match was surprisingly great. In my opinion, it was pretty damn great. From the entrances to the presentation of Rhea Ripley, to, and this is something she don't get enough credit for, I don't think, the facials that she gives. When she gets hit with a fucking clothesline, or she gets, you know, booted or whatever, and she pops back up and she's looking at the camera, she makes a face that tells you she's in pain.
Yeah.
Or if she gets hit out of nowhere, she has that look of like, oh shit, did I just get hit? You know, it's those kind of things that like make you
a good wrestler.
Yeah. It's, when Randy Orton takes a bump and you see him lift his head up and do the whole shit, did I just get hit? Mm-hmm. That tells you something. Rhea Ripley has that. She has the it factor.
Yeah.
And I think this match displayed that pretty damn well. There are a few bumps here and there, kind of picking up.
Yeah.
There's a moment where they kind of slap each other back and forth. And you pointed it out with Raquel's punches.
Yeah, she's laying them. She's going all in. That big son of a bitch. She's pulling them punches back from fucking Oklahoma.
Yeah, she really makes them look like, and like you said, if she connects with those sons of bitches, Rhea's down.
Yeah.
Because she's not doing the whole I'm gonna punch you.
Yeah, the bitch slap. Yeah.
Where they over swing over your head. She's swinging for Rhea, and you just hope Rhea can duck.
I hope she does.
And she's not slow mo swinging them. She's not giving a 50. She's saying, "All right, bitch."
Oh, baby, it's 93 premium.
Makes it look real. Mm-hmm. That's all you can ask for wrestling. Make it look real. Make it look believable. They had some spots outside the ring. You want to touch on some of those?
Oh yeah, Rhea Ripley. I believe she got hit with no. That's the next one. Sorry.
Rhea Ripley got, she got power bombed into the.
That's what it was. Yeah.
She went to do a running senton, and Raquel caught her.
Yeah, she fell to the barricade. Yeah, that's pretty dope. And dropped on the fucking floor like yesterday's laundry.
She dropped that shit.
Lord have mercy.
Dropped her shit.
And I think that's probably in the point of the match where Rhea, I guess, she's favoring her back.
Yeah,
that might be a point where that happened.
And they pointed out on the commentary that she, her lower back was like getting red throughout the match. And I was like, all right, like they're starting to point out things to make this match seem important.
Yeah,
because you know our lower back's getting red, so you're telling us what Raquel is working over. And I think you notice as well, as soon as she gets her back in the ring after doing that power bomb, she puts her in the gory special, and she's stretching the back more, and she's stretching the back more. Once again, doing something that not the hit on the other matches, but they weren't doing completely, and that's telling a story that we can say, okay, this is something to latch onto.
Oh yeah.
There was a little bit of a story with the Gargano match. Mainly, Gargano's being a bitch. Mm-hmm. He's running away. Okay, cool. But not a big story there. The Jake Atlas match, no story.
Yeah.
Not even talking about Cameron Grimes bullshit. This is telling the story. Mm-hmm. It's building something up to the finish. Yeah. The finish being Rhea Ripley overcoming her back being in pain, her hitting the riptide, her getting the win, and solidifying herself as the woman of NXT.
Right.
Doesn't matter who the champion is. Doesn't matter if it's Io, Candice, Ember Moon, Shotzi, fucking the Ghost of Asuka. Right. It doesn't matter. She's solidifying herself as the torchbearer, the bullet point, what's the other term for it? The benchmark of the fucking women's division.
Yeah.
Because she took down Rhea Ripley, or Raquel Gonzalez.
And it showed right there, because like you said, it don't matter who the champion is, Rhea Ripley, you know, she eventually becomes, you know, instant women's champion or whatnot. But that match, that was a fucking aggressive women's match. And I loved it. Like I said, Raquel, she did her thing, man. She had a, belt to belly. Just a back drop off the top. Yeah. You know, Rhea's up there trying to get leverage, and she just caught her up midair. You know, fucking send time about went left field. Rhea didn't rotate properly enough. But outside that, it was a good match, man. It was a good match.
And, I mean, the facial expression after that backdrop, the facial expression she gives when she sits up, it's like, okay, once again, she
passed a kidney stone mid-match.
She's over here giving us what we want. And by that, I mean she's giving us the, okay, I'm in pain, holy shit, my back, they're really building it up, and that's what you need to do, you know, because we're thinking, okay, you know, if you follow wrestling and you're paying attention to it at least, you know that to hit the riptide on anyone, is a back move.
Yeah, pump right. handle. Yeah.
But if you're gonna hit it on Raquel,
she's a big bitch.
You need to be able to do it.
Got a lower back.
And if she's getting your back worked over,
you have your kidneys.
The wrestling fan is sitting here thinking, can she still hit that
right.
with a fucked up back? And what she did?
She hit it because she's a bad bitch.
4 for me.
Yeah, I give it a 4. I give it a 4 as well. It was one of the best women matches I've seen in a while. Pretty aggressive. You know what I mean? I like shit like that. I like, the old typical women wrestling. Push, slap, finish. Like, God damn it, get aggressive. Throw a bitch onto a turnbuckle. You know, ropes, go outside, take them through the nasty, but throw them into a fucking barricade mm-hmm. like Raquel did. It, like you said, it had to build up all the way till. And Wade Barrett and the freaking guy, just like Where's Waldo type of fucker.
Big Justice, got you.
Yeah, Maldonado, Ronaldo. They all look like to the backstage all the way to now. They both coming out. They're doing their split screen comparison. The freaking, their attributes, if you call them freaking.
Tail of the tape.
Yeah, tail of the tape. 6'2", the fucking 5'10", 155 to 185. Sorry, Raquel. One's fearless. One's more aggressive. One's more emotional. One's in a cycle this week. It's a great tail of the tape. And like Adrian said, the match showed us what I give it a 4.
Because out of the matches tonight, this one had the biggest fight feel to it.
Personally, if it was a Shotzi black card spin of the deal, whatever the fuck they're doing, it probably could have been a 5. You know, if it had a chair, a kendo stick, those
oh, yeah.
fuckers, it could have been a 5.
Yeah, give Raquel a kendo stick to swing instead of her fist. Yeah, fucking Rhea Ripley's done. But, yeah, man, they gave it their all. They did well. It was a great match. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to get to the main event after this quick word from our sponsor. Are you tired of getting your sister pregnant? Tired of having those awkward conversations with mom and dad about why little Sally is due? Don't worry. Get the brand new Alabama brand condoms. So that way, when you roll your tide, you never, ever get your sister pregnant.
Oh, absolutely. Hi, my name is Laz, and I use Alabama Tide condoms. Last time I fucked my sister, we came out with my great-great-nephew, and he looks like he's all right. Yes, his foot may be fucked up a little bit. His eyes may be crossed. He may have slight scoliosis, but it's okay because I, Lazlo, uses Alabama Riptide condoms. Go get them today.
All right, we're back. Wow, what a sponsor, man.
Woo!
I personally, myself, wouldn't buy them, but that's okay.
Laz would. Still use them to this very day.
Oh,
but we
digress. Yeah, we
digress. As we turn to the main event.
We have Io Shirai, accompanied by Poppy, lip-syncing one of her songs, mm-hmm. Versus Candice LeRae for the NXT Women's Championship in a tables, ladders, and scares match.
Oh, hold on. See what you did right there. Very punny.
But no, this was a pretty good match, actually. This was pretty solid. Neither of us, I guess, are really fans of Candice LeRae.
Fucking no.
Just kind of botchy.
I'd rather watch a fucking wrestling show in Grimsley, Tennessee than watch Candice LeRae. Psych, I lied.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Actually, so I had to lift the mic up for this one. 127 Wrestling in Grimsley, Tennessee.
Yep.
Yeah, they're done now. They closed their fucking doors this week. So you know what? That's a victory for the good guys. You hear that, old Joey Joe? You motherfucker, I want my money back, you bitch.
Oh, he's been using Alabama Tide condoms too.
To the millions.
He's been fucking his niece. And that's the main reason that 127 Wrestling got shut down, because the SWAT team raided in there. They found a bunch of little kids outside the Biden administration in the back. They went left field, and he got arrested. He got released on bail. You know, the wrestling promotion, they're doing pretty good financially. So they got released on bail. I believe he's still at Walmart working, so go check him out. good guy. I won't bring him to a barbecue or anything, but you know, he's a great guy.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. But we digress.
What the fuck? Okay. Yeah, so Candice LeRae, Io Shirai, tables, ladders, scares. No. The match was actually pretty good. They start off right away with the chairs. Mm-hmm. A few big spots here and there. I mean, there's neck breaker through the the swinging neck breaker through both the tables.
She freaking smacks Yoda laptop. She flies off the side of the thing.
Lands to the computer chair.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
Io goes for the running knees and just wrecks both of her fucking. This is like the this knee mat. This is a match centered on people getting their knees fucked up.
Because nobody's sucking dick regularly.
Io Shirai knees first in the corner ladder. Candice LeRae. We'll get to that towards the end of the match there. But that's the buildup. It's you know kind of hardcore back and forth. They're doing drop kicks, kicks, chairs, ladders, tables, scares. Candice goes to get a table from underneath the ring, opens his bag out, and fucking fake body parts in it. That was kind of funny.
Severed head. That's pretty dope.
They end up getting over to so Candice sets up this ladder outside the ring, and we'll get towards the end of the match here. Io Shirai is down. On the outside of the ring, she's dead. Candice is coming up, going, you know, she crawled back in, and then Ghostface comes back out and goes to take her up there. Well, that's when Shotzi comes out, hits Ghostface in the balls, and hits him with an electric chair onto the chairs. She's hurt, I guess. She, like, rolls out like she's in pain. But I also noticed, because I was paying a lot of attention to what she was wearing, that the back of her dress, like, popped open. So, you know, I guess I probably didn't want to have all the 8 to 9 year olds that are watching NXT
see a batch.
See or titties too.
Yeah.
So Io miraculously healed up, brings her ladder in, climbs it. She gets like Candice like grabs her nose and her eyes, and Candice is screaming. Io doesn't say anything, but Candice is like, ah! And Io's like, no. And she like, falls off the ladder. And then, like, once again, she, like, kind of miraculously gets back up, runs. No hesitation. Zero hesitation. Bitch has, like, 6 comebacks saved up. No hesitation. She, like, she does, like, the, you know, if you're playing 2K22, she has, like, the kick up or whatever. Like, her comeback's ready. Yeah, she runs. She pushes this fucking ladder over and sends Candice LeRae knees first through this ladder. She's dead.
Yeah.
Gargano's pissed off backstage. He's not getting anything.
Yeah, he's not getting his dick sucked right.
So, Io Shirai climbs up. I love when wrestlers get the championship in a different way, rather than pull it down and then just stand there on one side.
Yeah.
Io like gets up there and like puts one leg on the other side of the ladder, gets it, and then holds it up and like looks at it and is like, "Oh, bitch, I got it."
Yeah.
Or she would say, "I'm from Japan, bitch," and then she drops her split.
All right.
Point is, great. I thought it was a pretty damn good match. I think having a host for Halloween Havoc has helped as well.
Yeah.
I it was a little over the top, but that's the whole point. It's supposed to be over the top because it's Halloween. And Shotzi Blackheart is she's acting like when she was like the old school. I doubt you guys ever watched this stuff growing up, but my mom used to watch these old Halloween on like cable access shows, like Elvira or whoever. Elvira is a goth chick with the big old titties that like do the movies, but they show like 80s. Slasher movies or like old like Frankenstein movies, and they'd have this host who would be super dressed up and making like shitty puns all night and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and they call it like the horror movie hour or whatever,
kind of like a Saturday Night Live kind of.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so there'd be like a host. So that's like the whole point of Shotzi Blackheart. She's like a midnight movie horror host type of deal. And
you can be my midnight movie horror host all day long.
Hell yeah. Dressed like the devil. But yeah, that's kind of the purpose there. But all around, man, I gave this main event like it was like a 3.5.
Yeah, I give it a 3.5. If it was anybody outside Candice LeRae, probably got a 4. I like Io Sky. You know, she came back at SummerSlam. You know, the whole fucking stadium popped.
Oh, damn, because who was there? Oh, yeah. We were there.
Mm-hmm. And it was a good show, man. But back to this. Io Sky did their thing. Candice LeRae, I'm not really a fan of. You know, it was a spot Asian fucking dislike where they're on the outside and Io's getting ready to push her into the fucking ring post. And they're maybe halfway across the floor and Candice LeRae's already putting her hand up. Like, don't hit me in the face. And she just pushes her hand into the ring
post. Oh my God, I'm going to hit my head.
It was horrible. I don't know why Triple H brought her back. But good match. I mean, not a typical women's match that we normally review and, you know, dog shit them to death because they're, you know, they're the women's matches and they're low on impact and low on wrestling moves. They're just, you know, just out there just to be out there, a titty case. And, yeah, this one was pretty good. I like Io Sky, man. So I give it a 3, 3.5.
Yes, sir. All right, so that has been the card. We did a little breakdown for you. Mm-hmm. Now let's go ahead and let's get into our awards. So, sir, for the mat, what is your match of the night?
My match of the night would have to be. I'm kind of in between Priest and Gargano, and Rhea and Raquel. I'm gonna lean towards Priest and Gargano, but Rhea and Raquel is like literally a damn close second. It's a damn close second.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go Rhea and I'm gonna go Rhea and Raquel.
It's a good match.
I did not expect to like that match as much as I did, but I'm going to go with that one. I think it was much better than I expected. Mm-hmm. And when I watched it, I didn't even expect it to be half as good as what it was.
Right.
So I'm gonna have to go with that for sure.
Absolutely.
What was the worst match of the night?
Obviously the bullshit that WWE production team put together with Cameron Grimes and fucking Dexter Lumis and
B-Fab
and all the other fucking jobbers in NXT that had the audacity to sign up for that bullshit that they call a match. That was just a fucking promo. They're fighting in a crack addict's house down the street from the Performance Center. Freaking gets a drone, zooms out, cameras ground, run down the street, half butt ass naked, nothing but fucking jeans on. No shoes, no socks. He's just running. And then you got the Where's Waldo commentator, fucking Maldonado Ronaldo and Wade Barrett. Oh, he's on the way back to the Performance Center. He's on the way back to the Capital One, whatever the fuckers. He gets in there and somehow Dexter Lumis beats in there because he's in a fucking pedophile van already. He jumps in the car and flies down to the arena. Cameron Grimes is crawling through the arena. He trips on the grave site right there. More zombies fly out. I'm dead beating the horse right now. That's the worst match of the night.
Yeah, I agree with you. That match actually sucked complete ass, and I will never watch that match ever again as long as I'm alive. Gun to my head, you say, hey, watch this one or die, and I think I'll go ahead and take that bullet.
I wouldn't recommend that match to my worst enemies down at once when he's dead in wrestling to watch it.
Oh, they've already watched. They got that shit on the loop. That's how they book their shows. All right, next up, we have Star of the Night, man.
My Star of the Night will be Saucy Black Mark's a sexy piece of ass. I give it to Rhea Ripley. She's my star tonight.
I'm giving it to Io.
She's a baller.
I'm going to give mine to Io Shirai. In my opinion, Io Shirai can do no wrong.
Right.
So I'm going to give it to Io Shirai. Always likes what she's doing. Attraction aside, I think she's one of the best female wrestlers out there.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
If we count in the attraction, she is the best female wrestler out there. Because Salsa Banks has taken her ball and gone the fuck home.
Yeah.
So until she returns, we all know who I'm watching. Who's the right back of the night, man? Who's your piece of shit of the night?
Whoever produced that bullshit of a match between Cameron Grimes and Dexter Lumis. Everybody played a good role tonight. This was an okay card for NXT. I don't know if it was Shawn Michaels, Triple H, fucking Finley, William Regal, whoever the bastard was that had the nerve. Eric Bischoff, wherever the fuck was back there. Paul Heyman, you two, you're not out this. Whoever was back there and said, hey, this is a good idea, fuck you. You're the right back of the night. I'm sorry, I still love WWE, but that was a sack of shit that you threw out there for us to watch.
I'm going to go with Jake Atlas.
Oh, I forgot about
that. I'm going to go with that charisma assault. Vacuum, domestic assault and piece of shit.
Damn, Jake, you got away.
Jake.
No, you don't. You're a double right back of the night. That's 2-4. That's a 2-for-1 dude, bitch.
Yeah, we're going to sweep it. Wow, you're a bitch. All right, spot of the night, man. Spot of the night.
I like when fucking Damian Priest went left field and dove through the fucking fake house and debris.
That was
and
pretty bad.
Gargano super kicking the skeleton. That was funny as shit.
Oh, damn. They're
sliced bread on steps.
There's a lot of good spots. And you just named that match alone.
Freaking Candice LeRae freaking flying knee first, tearing ACL, MCL through the ladder.
I mean, there's
smacking EO with a laptop. It was a lot of good
there's
spots.
The electric chair under the chairs, the Rhea Ripley getting powerbombed into the barricade and just getting dropped.
I like Rhea's entrance. I like Daniel Priest's entrance. I like the Sky's entrance.
When we started this show, we were sitting here talking about how this could be a shitty ass show. And the more we talk about it, the better the show has actually been sounding.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We was actually debating, to be totally honest with you guys, if we should do a Halloween theme, 98, or, you know, Extreme Rules. And at first, I said, you know, let's go to 98. And we seen a fucking thing with Hulk Hogan on that. So Adrian being a smart guy, we went to Halloween Havoc. And I like it. I like it. I'd rather watch this again and watch fucking Hulk Hogan rip his shirt off and get hit twice in the head and Hulk up and you and go do his leg drop and complain about his asshole hurting 20 years later. So yeah, this was a good match. It was a good match. Yeah. Good call.
I think my spot of the night. Did you pick your spot of the night?
No, I didn't. I was bitching about Hulk Hogan.
We're reminiscing about how great the show was.
I'll go with. I'll give it a double. Gargano super kicking this, but the fake skeleton. And Damian Priest getting his fucking head knocked off of the tombstone and flying across the damn stage.
I'm going to go with Gargano super kicking the skeleton. And I'm going to say, because I swear I'll probably remember it for, I don't know why, but I'll remember it for a while. Rhea Ripley getting powerbombed to the barricade and just like shit canned on the ground.
Yeah, shit canned.
Botch of the night? Were there too many? Were there any?
I'm going to call it a botch. It was kind of like a worthless moment. You know, where EO had cancer right leg in the chair.
Yeah.
She did the whole spin thing. I guess it kind of hurt her more than the deal, right? But it wasn't too many botches the whole card. So I don't know. Wasn't too many. I didn't see any.
I can't think of any botches, but.
Candice LeRae putting her hands up too fucking early before she hits the ring.
I'm going to say Cameron Grimes and Dexter Lumis.
Yeah, that kind of fucking botch.
Their fuck session in a crack house.
That was worthless.
They're recording on Magnolia.
Yeah, most definitely.
We're at the basement of 127. All right, so final grade?
Final grade, we'll go 3.5.
Yeah, I agree. 3.5 all around. I think it was a solid show. Was it the best Halloween Havoc NXT's produced?
One the worst.
That's the ticket right there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we're going to record next, but when we do, you're going to hear it. We have 2 episodes in the queue as well. I think I'm going to drop this one sooner, and then I'll go back and drop those other ones later on. Maybe I'll get 2 this week. Who knows? Depends on how nice I want to be. But, damn, this has been the No Disqualifications Podcast. Once again, we're back, bitches.
Hell yeah.
My name's Adrian.
I'm Tay.
Where's Laz?
Oh, we got an update on Laz. He finally come down to Kentucky. He's out of West Virginia now. Him and his uncle still at it. They're fucking some blonde bitch outside of Summer Chris. And it's not looking good for them. So hopefully we get a location on them soon. The van they're renting is actually wanted for stolen plates. And they got the windows spray painted black. So if you see a white Ford van, license plate, Alabama condom. I repeat, Alabama condom. Call us in. You know, hit us up on the bumper. And let us know you found Laz. We greatly appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, this has been another special podcast. See y'all later.